I am so touched. Thank you. Let's start off with a word of prayer this morning. God, thank you so much for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you for bringing us all to Trout Lake Camp. Thank you for this facility and for the people that run it and the people behind the scenes. We just pray that you would bless them. Thank you for the youth leaders that took their time this weekend to come and spend at camp and not get much sleep and maybe get dirty and go home tired. But God, I pray that you would bless them. And thank you too, God, for the sacrifices that were made by the teenagers, some of them giving up things this weekend to come to camp and to hear from you. So I just pray, God, that this last message we have this morning, that you would speak through me, help me to get out of the way and to communicate what you want to communicate this morning. And I do pray that we all would be impacted for eternity before we leave to go home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to start off by turning to the verse that we started off with last night, and that's the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and we're going to go to chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1 again, but we're also going to look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. All right, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the verse we talked about last night. You remember the analogy we did of Jonathan getting on the slack line and putting all that junk on that represented sin, and how he didn't do a very good job at running the race or walking the line because he had all that stuff holding him down. And so last night, we dealt with some of that junk in our life. And I heard personally from some of you afterwards that God spoke to you and that you're starting to realize some of the things you need to throw off. That's awesome. God did amazing things last night. But that's only the beginning. It's not just about getting rid of the sin, stop reading those magazines, changing the kind of music you listen to, or getting new friends. That's not the end. That's not going to make you successful, because I want you to check out what comes next in verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the key, teenagers, is once we throw off the sin and deal with that stuff, we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's going to make us successful at running this race. Remember what you learned this weekend on walking the slack line? You're supposed to look down on the ground, right, and look around at your friends while you're walking. Is that right? No, if you do that, you fall off right away. Where are you supposed to look when you're walking the slack line? Straight ahead. You're supposed to fix your eyes on something stationary that's not moving, that's solid. You're supposed to look straight ahead, and that's going to help you be successful. It's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus, is we are supposed to fix our eyes on him. He is immovable. He's solid. He's the rock. You can count on him always. And if you have your eyes fixed on him, then you're going to do a lot better at running this race, at walking the line, at not falling all the time if you fix your eyes on Jesus. So this morning, I want to ask you to think about, what does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? What does that mean? Well, maybe to help you think about that, think about fixing your eyes on anyone. Think about what you see when you look into someone's eyes. In fact, I need 2 volunteers this morning. Okay, sir. Right there. And no, you too, both of you. Come on up. Okay. I saw your hands first. You're determined. All right. Awesome. Okay. Come on up. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, that's right. His name means strong, manly in Greek. Let's see it. Come on. Ooh, intimidating. All right. I'm going to give you cheese balls after for participating in this activity. So we have Andrew and we have?
Regan,
the 5 cheese balls. That's right. You said you liked wrestling at first, which starts with a W, so yeah. We had to correct him. Yeah. And then what did you decide that you liked?
I couldn't find anything that started with R, so I thought of fairy tales.
He said Rapunzel.
Oh, Rapunzel. He likes girls with long hair. Watch out, ladies. Okay. So, all right, I need you guys to fix your eyes on each other, and we're going to see what you see. Do you know each other, by the way?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, so you're friends? Okay, so I need you, now we got to make sure the light is right here. We're going to turn just a little bit like that. Okay, now, Just come on, look nice. All right. All right. All right, Andrew and Regan, I need you to fix your eyes on each other, look into each other's eyes, and tell me what you see.
I see beauty.
You see beauty. Okay.
You don't want to know.
Okay. I know it's a little awkward.
Yeah.
All right, there is really something you're going to see in each other's eyes. You're really going to see something. If you know, don't give it away. If you guys want to practice amongst yourselves right now, you can. But guys, don't use it as an excuse to look into the girl's eyes next to you. All right?
Sparkles.
You see sparkles. Okay.
Same here.
You need to get a little closer. You see reflections? What do you see a reflection of?
I see me.
Wait, time out. Andrew, what do you see?
I see me.
You see you?
Yeah.
Okay, do you see you? If not, you got to get closer. Tell me when you see you, Regan. Okay, good job, guys. I'll give you a cheese ball. Hold on. Round of applause for these brave guys. There we go. All right, three for you. Three for you. Awesome. I said three for you before I got it. That was cool. Okay. All right, I'll put them back on. I feel weird without my cheese balls. All right, so what did they see when they looked into each other's eyes? They saw each other. They saw a reflection of themselves. Do you realize that's what happens when you fix your eyes on Jesus? You will end up seeing a reflection of yourself. But does that happen when you're far away? Can you really see that reflection? No. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms 17:8. The book of Psalms. We're going to go to Psalm 17, verse 8. Because what these guys just saw, some people call the apple of your eye. Have you heard that phrase before? The apple of your eye. It's usually a romantic term. You're the apple of my eye. Well, David talks about being the apple of God's eye in Psalm 17:8. All right, if you're not there yet, just listen up as I read. I'm going to just read the first part of the verse. David says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." That's what he says to God. "Keep me as the apple of your eye." Apple of the eye in Hebrew is actually translated little man of the eye. That's what it means. Isn't that cute? I like that. And Regan and Andrew saw themselves as the little man in each other's eyes. But isn't that sweet? You guys have a very special relationship now. I'm so glad that I could. It's good. All right. But did you notice how they did not see that reflection until they were close? Right? And if we want to be the apple of God's eye, like David says, a man after God's own heart, then we have got to be close to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, so that we can run the race. After we throw off the sin, we've got to get close to Jesus. And so this morning, I want to just talk about four ways to practice getting close to Jesus. Four real simple, practical ways that we can apply getting close to Jesus. How do we get close to Jesus? Every one of you can get close to Jesus by applying these four practices or principles. Number one, practice his presence. Practice his presence. What does that mean? Do you realize that God is everywhere? That God is omnipresent? That means that he can be chilling with you while he's chilling with me, while he's driving in the car with you, while he's playing sports with you. God is everywhere, and we have got to learn to practice his presence and realize that we are always in his presence, that we are always in the presence of God. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, any place. You don't have to go to church to be in his presence. You don't have to come to Trout Lake Camp and sit in chapel to be in his presence. You don't even have to go in your closet and close the door. That's not the only place you can pray and be in his presence. You can do that anywhere, anytime, practicing his presence. You can find a special place maybe to connect with God and practice his presence there. I love to be outside. Any nature lovers? Man, when I'm outside, I really experience the Lord's presence. And so I I actually ended up discovering a really cool tree that hung over the Mississippi River at a park in Minneapolis, and I would go and I'd hang out with God there because he was hanging out in the tree too. And I would spend time with the Lord there for like 3 years. It was my special spot. The tree was like made perfectly for my body. I'd like lounge up there. Sometimes I'd fall asleep. Geese would like swim under me. It was really exciting. And then I went to this park one day and the tree was struck by lightning. It was in the water and I was like, Lord, you know this is our spot. I love this place. And I felt like God reminded me, you know what, Molly, you don't have to be at just this place. I'm everywhere. Maybe there's another place that you can really connect with me on the island. It was this park in Minneapolis. I ended up finding these two really sweet trees that grew up from the water, and my dad and my brother helped me build a tree stand on this tree, and I sit over the Mississippi River, and it's sweeter than the first place. But what I've learned is that God is everywhere, and you can have a special spot if you want. That's cool. It's a good way to connect with God. Maybe it's at a coffee shop. Maybe you're going to go take your Bible and your journal and have a special coffee shop you go to or a place in your house. But God is everywhere. And we need to learn to practice his presence. We learned the verse yesterday, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, pray continually. So if we're supposed to be praying all the time, that tells me that everywhere we are, that God can hear us, that he is everywhere. And so I like to translate that verse, pray continually, to just constant conversation. Constant conversation. You don't just have to say, dear Lord, amen, and then that's it until the next time you eat and then you pray, or the next time you go to youth group and pray. You can be talking to the Lord all the time. I want to tell you a story about how I practiced God's presence about 6-7 years ago on the corner of Penn and Lowry in Minneapolis. I had just gotten a job at the Olive Garden. I know we're all hungry now. We want those breadsticks and the unlimited salad and soup. Yum. Zuppa Toscana. Okay, so I just got a job at the Olive Garden, and I didn't have a car at the time, and so I had to take the city bus to work. And so I walked about 5 blocks from my house in my little tie and my uniform, and I got to the bus stop early. I was prepared, and I waited for the bus to take me to work. And it did not come on time, and I'm thinking maybe it's running late. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and no bus was coming. And I was starting to get a little desperate because I had just gotten a job, and I couldn't be late. They wouldn't care. They could fire me if they wanted. And so I had to get to work. And so at the corner of Penn and Lowry, I remembered God is there, God cares, God hears. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God gets me a ride to work if the bus doesn't come. And so it was like 15 minutes before I needed to be to work. And so even if the bus did come, I was going to be late. And so I started giving God ideas like, Lord, maybe like a friend could drive by and recognize me. Or maybe you could just warp me to work. I mean, that'd be sweet. God could do that, right? I really thought it'd be sweet to like all of a sudden show up at Olive Garden. That'd be really cool. God didn't do that. And then I actually gave him the idea. I said, Lord, maybe a policeman could drive by and pick me up. But I didn't commit any serious crimes, and so no policemen stopped. I was getting really nervous, but I kept praying. And then the stoplight was red, and I'm sitting on the corner, and this car pulls up to the red light, and this really cute, sweet old lady, she's like, you know, hands at 10 and 2, focused on the road. And then she looks over at me, and she smiles, and I smile. She looks back, smiles again, looks at the road. This was like the longest light ever, because we did that like 5 times. And I'm just smiling at her and thinking, what is she doing? And she reaches over with all of her strength, and she rolls down the window, and she says, honey, do you need a ride? And I jumped up, my tie flailing in the air as I run to the car, and I said, yes, I would love a ride. In fact, I was just praying that God would get me a ride to work. So yeah, I'm going to the Olive Garden, and she said, okay, I'll take you as far as Brookdale Mall, but you'll have to walk from there because that's where her errands are. And I was like, okay, cool, but I'll still be late. But I didn't tell her that. I just thanked God. And so we're driving down Penn Avenue, and I just started making conversations with her, found out her name was Gertrude, and she introduced herself as Gertie. And so I said, hey, Gertie, I'm Molly. Where do you live? And she said, Russell Avenue. And I said, oh, I go to church on Russell Avenue. And she said, oh, what church? And I said, Faith Baptist Church. And she said, honey, that's my church. Never seen the woman in my life. We didn't know each other. And so instant connection, me and Gertie like go to the same church, had never met each other. And she says, who's your mommy and daddy? And I said, David Meredith Barnhart, I know your mommy and daddy. I've never met you. And then she says, honey, I'm taking you all the way to work. And so We drive to work, and she's like so excited, she's not looking at the road, so I'm like, 10 and 2, Gertie, focus. And she, she drives me all the way to the Olive Garden. I get there on time. We give a big hug goodbye, and I said, Gertie, I'll find you at church on Sunday, and thank you so much. You answered my prayer. And then she was excited because, you know, she was the answer to my prayer. And I run into Olive Garden, and I'm so excited about what just happened, practicing God's presence on the corner, that God cares about getting me to work. I just had to tell someone. You know, like David doesn't want to shut his mouth about what God's done in his life. I didn't either. And so the first two people I saw was my manager and the bartender. And I said, you guys would not believe what just happened. I was at the corner of the, you know, and then I was stranded. And then this old lady picked me up and I'm here. God answered my prayer. And they're like, whoa, cool. Okay. My manager thought it was cool, but then the bartender waited for the manager to leave, and I had just met this guy. I had just met him, and Sean looks at me and he says, wow, if that's what it's like to be a Christian, I want to know God too. Amen. Amen. And Sean ended up coming to church with me a few weeks later, and he became a Christian, and my dad discipled him for 6 months. How sweet is that? That is awesome. And that's not the end of the story, because guess what? Gertie and I are now like best friends. I love her. And so we've had countless sleepovers. She's actually a widow. And so her husband died like 20 years ago, and she lives in this little house all by herself. And so I believe one of the reasons God answered my prayer that morning was so that Gertie could have a friend and be encouraged. And so this is a picture of me and Gertie. You can't see it very well, but she actually asked me to wear her nightgown, and so we matched. And so it was really funny. And yeah, this night that I slept over at Gertie's house, she goes to bed early because she's an older woman, and I go to bed late. And so I took a sleeping pill so that I would like get knocked out right away. And so the next morning, I wake up, and Gertie is right here in my face. And as soon as I open my eyes, she says, oh, honey, I'm so glad you're alive. I thought that you were dead. You weren't breathing. You were making a noise. Because, you know, the sleeping pill had kind of knocked me out. She thought that I had died in her house, and she was so afraid. It was really funny. Gertie and I spent time going to the Old Country Buffet. I don't really like it, but she loves it. And Craig and I actually just asked Gertie to be in our wedding as our adopted grandmother. Met her on the corner because I prayed, because God cares about things like that. How awesome is that? Gertie loves my cheese balls. I actually have a little video for you of Gertie.
What are your thoughts about the cheese balls?
Well, they're really nice. Man, they're living, aren't they? Really something?
Yeah, well, what was your first impression when you saw me come in with them?
Well, I couldn't figure out where you were and where you, who you came with, and I looked, I didn't see a car, and there's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And a motorcycle, yeah.
And then I have my cheese balls. What do you think about my cheese balls?
Oh, I like them.
Yeah? What do you like about them?
Well, they're nice.
Yeah?
They're nice.
Gertie, I love you.
Nice.
I love you, Gertie.
They're nice.
Aw, oh, thanks.
Cute. Look at them little cheese balls.
Yeah. Oh, isn't she precious? I love her. Man. Teenagers, God cares about every detail in your life, and you can talk to him anytime, anywhere, about anything. Practice his presence. And it's definitely going to take some getting used to, you know? And if you have to write a big PP... That sounds weird, but on your hand to stand for practice his presence, to remind you that you can pray all the time, do it. Do whatever it takes. If you have to write post-it notes in your car or on your locker to say, hey, remember, you can pray right now. Do it, because God cares. Practice his presence. That is one way to get close to Jesus. Number two, apply your passion. Sorry. What are you passionate about? What makes you tick? Do you know that you can connect with God through your passions? That you can do anything to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Everything in your life, from playing basketball to walking down the hall in school to carrying cheese balls on your back, you can do to bring glory to God and to connect with him and get close to him. If you're into disc golf, you can talk to God as you're walking the course. every hole, you know? You can take time to connect with God through your passions. If you like sports, you know, when you're about to take the free throw shot and you do your three dribbles and you spin it in your three dribbles, you know, your little thing that you got. You can take that time to say, God, I recognize that you've given me these abilities. I want to do this for you. You can shoot. Connect with God through your passions. Maybe it's art or music or singing. You can sing to God. Maybe it's biking or fishing or knitting. I don't know why I'd be knitting, but if it is, you know, that's cool for you. Maybe it's writing. Maybe some of you like to write, and for me, I love to write. And so when I was 12 years old, I started journaling. You know that because I read you some of my journals on Friday night, and you're saying yes in the front row because you want me to read some more, right? I started connecting with God through writing, and instead of writing Dear Diary and writing generic stuff, I'd write Dear Jesus or Dear Lord, and I started that at age 12. And look at my journals. These are all my journals, you guys. It's really sweet. I'll put this down so you can see it. It has been the most incredible thing. You are funny. You're standing up. Whoa. You can start this. You can do this. I connect with God through my passion of writing. And I started when I was 12. I don't write every day. But I write when there's something important or something I want to praise God for, a struggle I'm going through, and I'm just honest with God. I just get real with him. I'm going to read you a couple more because you seem to like it Friday night. Seventh grade. Be honest with God. Be real. What's on your mind? God, I feel kind of bad because whenever I think a boy may like me, I found out they don't like me more than a friend, or they like someone else. Is there any way you can get a nice, cute, if you want, Christian boy to like me? God did. Craig, thanks. Thanks for liking me. I wrote that in seventh grade. I'm 27 now, but God answered my prayer. That's pretty sweet. What's on your mind? Talk to God about it. Connect with him through your passions, what's on your heart and your mind. I wrote this when I was in seventh grade. Again, seventh grade was a funny year for me, I guess. I wrote, please help me keep my goal in scoring the most in every basketball game. Please help the zits on my face go away, and especially the one under my nose. So I was specific, all right? And then I looked through my journal and I found out a week and a half later, look what I wrote. This is really funny. Where is it? Okay. Please help me make a wise decision whether I should go skiing on February 4th or stay at the basketball game. If I do decide to go, please help me do my best and not be nervous. Please help the zit by my nose go away. It's been there for 1.5 weeks. All right, I got a question for you. I wrote about zits and boys in seventh grade, and then in 12th grade I found, you know, I'm writing about things like college choices, and maybe that's a little bit bigger. But do you think that when I wrote about those things in seventh grade, zits and boys, do you think God was like, oh, you're so annoying. Why do you just talk to me about bigger things? Or do you think he appreciated hearing from me? Absolutely. Teenagers, talk to God about whatever's on your heart, your mind, or under your nose. All right? He wants to hear. I drew pictures to God when I was in seventh grade that says, I love you. Please help me get up at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And then I think I prayed for another zit to be gone. Please help my zits go away if it be your will, of course. And then I wrote, please help Jennifer in the other class get friends. Thanks for the wonderful, free, awesome gift of salvation. Now, for some of you, maybe writing isn't your thing. For some of you, it is, and I would suggest starting today. Start journaling to God. It's awesome. It's incredible to look back and see his answered prayers. But whatever makes you tick, whatever your passions are, connect with God in that way. Whether it be sports or art or music, practice his presence. Apply your passion. And when you do, be honest and open and real. Number three, principle you should apply in getting close to Jesus is praise him. Praise him all the time. Now, as I say praise him, I don't know what you're thinking. Maybe you're just picturing, okay, when the John Oney band is up here leading us in worship, that's when we're going to praise God. You know, they sing some sweet songs and we lift our hands or we clap, we dance around and then we get done. And, you know, then we'll praise God next Sunday at church. Teenagers, we're supposed to praise God all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, says pray continually, but guess what the verse says before that? It says, be joyful always. And the verse after that, after 17, I'm just going to read this section to you. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in how many circumstances? All circumstances. So that tells me that not only can we pray all the time and have constant conversation, but we can be praising God all day long. That's one way to get close to Jesus, is recognize the good things he's done in your life. Several years ago, I was at my sister's house, you know, the one that I got to witness the birth of my nephew, that sister, and I noticed some Post-it notes on her counter, and I noticed that it was her husband and her kind of exchanging cute little mushy-gushy Post-it notes to each other. You know, and he'd say something like, hey, honey, you're so sweet, love you, sugar, and I'm like, gross. You know, but then, like, deep down inside, I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. I can't wait till I can do that when I'm older and married. And then I felt like God said, hello, why don't you do it now for me? And I was like, okay. And so I just started this thing about 6 years ago that I wouldn't let myself go to bed at night until I wrote a Post-it note to God with a date on top and just one thing throughout the day that kind of impressed me about him, a praise, something I noticed that I liked about God. And it got kind of addicting. I thought maybe I'd do it for a week or two. It kind of took over my room in my house, in my parents' house where I lived. And I lived there for about 3 years after I started this. I had like, you know, 900, 1,000 Post-it notes on the wall. My friends would come over and they'd be like, you know, talking to me, and then they'd see the Post-it notes and they'd start reading. And I'd try to talk to them and be like, shut up, I want to read. And they're like reading all the cool things that I praise God for. And then after I moved out from my parents' house, I had to take all the Post-it notes down, and I decided that I'd put them in a treasure box, and so I keep them in here now, and so these are my Post-it notes for the last 6 years, and I'm going to read to you some of the stuff that God impressed on me to praise him for, and some of you might want to start to do this. It's an awesome habit to learn how to praise God, because I'll tell you what, this wasn't always natural for me. I wouldn't always go through the day and recognize things and be like, oh, God, you're so cool for making that sunset, but as I trained myself to practice this, I'm able now to recognize God all over the place because I've been disciplining myself to do it. It helps me get close to Jesus. All right, so January, February, March, April. Okay, April 14th, 07, I said, God, thanks for waves to surf on. That's cool. God made those. I love it. All right, October 4th, 2004, leaves fall off trees and look so pretty. Thanks, God. Praise him. 8:16:05, coffee wakes me up. And then I drew a picture of a face that's like, whoa. Seashells have holes. Okay, why would that be cool? Why would I praise God for that, girls? So we can make necklaces. God made seashells that have holes in them. I think one of the reasons he did that is because, girls, he knew that me and you would like to, like, you know, make seashell necklaces and bracelets and anklets. That's cool. Praise God for anything and everything that impresses you. On June 8th, 2005, I must have been at camp seeing a bunch of fireflies, and so I wrote fireflies. Hello, bugs that light up in the sky, that's cool. And then don't do this because I like bugs, but you can kill them and squash it and like rub it on yourself and you'll glow for like 2 minutes. So, but don't do that, okay? October 26th, 2005, I wrote pumpkins can be carved. That's cool. Praise God, pumpkins can be carved. Just don't make scary faces, those scare me. God, thanks for healing my shoulder in the volleyball game. Turtle shells, snow can be made into snowballs, forts, and snowmen. That's cool. I mean, snow could just be like, you know, sometimes it is, but other times you can roll them up and throw them at your friend or make a snow fort. That's cool. Hugs, people fit together so nicely. Oh, isn't that nice? And holding hands, I wrote that one time. That's nice. Fingerprints are unique. Bunnies have white tails. Okay, you're wondering why I'm praising God that bunnies have white tails. Here's the deal. I live in the back part of a neighborhood. It's a dead end, and there's not many streetlights. And when I come driving home at night, there's all these bunnies in my neighborhood that, like, bounce across the road. And, you know, bunnies, Their bodies are the color of, you know, brown and speckled. They look like the road. And if it weren't for their white tails that bop up every time they jump, I wouldn't see them and I'd hit like 9 bunnies when I'm driving down the road. And so I praise God that bunnies have white tails for keeping me safe when I fainted during my haircut. That's another story. I had to go to the hospital and everything, but I'm okay. Geese are waterproof. Okay. I was hanging out at the park where I spent time with Jesus, and I saw these geese. It was really cold out, and I was like, oh, they must be so cold, and I saw them dive underwater and come up, and then I realized that their skin has, feathers, whatever, have this oil coating on it so that the cold water will just slide off its back down, and I just thought that was pretty cool that God created that, and so on September 7th, 06, I praised God for that. Thanks God for making funny-looking animals. I'm engaged. Oh, I wrote that one on the 22nd of September. Eyelashes protect our eyes. One day in March 04, I said gravity. You know, that's cool that we don't just float away. That's cool. And then I came back in my room 3 weeks later, and right, there's like, you know, tons of post-it notes on my wall. Guess which was the only post-it note that fell? The gravity post-it note. I thought that was so funny. So I wrote, God, the gravity post-it note fell. Thank you. That's funny. Ha ha. Hair turns color with sunlight for Cheez-Its. Oh, my brother came in my room and he stole my Cheez-Its. And so he thought that, you know, in exchange for that, he'd write for Cheez-Its, love Andy. And he put it in my box. I thought it's cool that cotton ball fluffs fly through the air. I like that. I don't know what impresses you or what you notice, but take time to praise God. Because as you do, teenagers, you'll start to recognize him more in your day. He is everywhere, and he wants to be involved intimately in your life. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And if you feel really far from him today, guess what? That's okay, because there was a time when I did too. And I still go through phases sometimes, and I don't always feel God. But you can train yourself by practicing his presence, by applying your passions, and by praising him all day long. It just takes discipline. Number 4, and lastly, I think is the most important thing for me to leave you with this morning before you go home, is persevere. Keep going. Don't give up. When you don't feel him, when you don't have the giddy feelings that you want to thank him for cotton ball fluffs, when you don't notice him or you don't feel his presence or he doesn't seem to be listening or answering your prayers, don't give up. Persevere. Keep going. It'd be really sweet if we could take everything from this weekend home with us. You know, the band, that'd be sweet. You know, set them up in your living room. Maybe you could bring me and my cheese balls home. That'd be really fun. I could hand them out to all your friends. And the people at school who are mean to you will just, you know, hit them with cheese balls. It'd be sweet if you could bring the zip line home with you. That'd be awesome. Set up in your backyard. Go across a couple neighbors' houses, right? It'd be sweet. It'd be sweet to bring some of your new friends home with you. You know what? Camp is not designed to come home with you. But you know who can go home with you? Jesus. God. He is there all the time. And you need to realize that in a few days from now, your camp feelings, these fun, exciting feelings, some of the things that happened last night, and that little you felt on your heart, and then what it felt like to give those things up to God, and how you felt during worship, those things, those feelings, as well as camp, that's going to fade away. And that's okay. You don't always have to feel super excited and pumped up about God. But does that mean that you give up? Does that mean that you stop fixing your eyes on him? That you stop trying to get close to him because you don't feel him? Because you don't have the zip line in your backyard? No. Keep going. Persevere. And you know what? You might fall, but keep going. We're not supposed to be perfect. We're just supposed to try. And as you fix your eyes on Jesus, you know what's going to start to happen is you're going to get to know him, not just know about him. You're going to know him personally, and he's going to start showing you things in your life that you need to work on little by little. He's not going to drop it all on you at once. God's going to help you through it. As you get to know Jesus, as you fix your eyes on him, as you don't give up, it's going to get easier and easier. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. but you're going to start wanting to live for him. The things we talked about yesterday morning and last night, the sin that holds you back. Eventually, as you get to know Jesus, you're going to want to change those things because you love Jesus so much, because you've gotten so close to him. You're the apple of his eye, because you've practiced his presence. You've applied your passion. You're praising him and you're persevering. Don't give up. God is described throughout scripture as a lot of things. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The mighty God, the rock, our Savior, our Lord. And he's also known as our Father. And when you think about a father, think about how much he loves his children. Now, some of you might not have the best example on earth, but a father is supposed to love his children so much that he'd be willing to give his life for them. And that's what God did for us. And God is patient with you. God has compassion on you. He will not let you go through things that you can't handle. And when you fall, he's going to be there to pick you up. A couple years ago, I was really discouraged. I was actually at a mission school. I was like spending time with God every day and had all these sweet teachings. It was like camp 24/7, but I wasn't feeling close to God. And I felt like the Lord gave me this picture of him as a father teaching me how to walk. Okay, so think about an adult teaching a little baby how to walk. Maybe some of you have had the privilege of doing that. At first, you know, that baby's all wobbly. They look like the Michelin man because they got fat rolls all over them and they don't have any muscles. And you grab them by their waist and you help them toddle along, right? And you got them real close. That's what God does for us. A lot of times in the beginning, he's going to let you feel him real close, you know, so that you're not falling. But as you grow and you get stronger, that dad or that mom can slide their hands up to the armpits, and they still got them, but they're letting them learn how to walk on their own because their muscles are growing and they're maturing. And then that little kid, eventually you can get them to walk by just having their elbows. And then eventually you can give that little kid your pinky. I've done that with my nephews, and they have a death grip. It hurts bad. And they'll hold on, and they'll toddle around, and they'll be doing fine because they can feel you, right? But then eventually, if you want that kid to learn how to walk, if you want to know if they really trust you, you got to plop them up against the couch, and you got to go back a few steps and say, okay, come to me. And that kid has the choice. They can sit down and plop down on the ground and cry and whine because it's so hard, and they don't feel you. Where'd you go? Or they can get up and they can try to balance and they can walk towards you and know that you love them so much that you're not going to let them fall beyond what they can handle. And that maybe sometimes going through hard times is good for you. That it develops perseverance and character, like it says in James. Teenagers, which kind of little baby are you going to be? Are you going to be the one that trusts your father, that perseveres, that realizes he's always there for you? I have a video for you to end, and it's a video I put together of a bunch of little kids learning how to walk. It's to a song by Shane and Shane, Be Near, O God. And this is my prayer for you this morning as you leave. I pray that you would be the little kid that doesn't give up, that keeps on walking, that practices God's presence, that applies your passions and connects with God that way, that praises him all day long, and more than anything, that you persevere. Don't give up. I'm going to pray for you. God, thank you for being such a good God, a Father who takes delight in us as your children. And even when we mess up, even when we choose to go in a different direction than you or sit down and cry and whine, God, thank you for not ever giving up on us. Thank you, God, that you never turn your back on us. You're just waiting for us to come to you. And that when we do, God, you say that you reward us and that you're going to be there always for us. And as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Thank you for being that kind of God. Lord, I just pray that you would give these teenagers and leaders safety on the way home and good conversations in their breakout and help us to apply everything that you spoke to us this weekend. I pray that this would just be the beginning. Keep us safe and protected, and more than anything, God, help us to get to know you. Thanks for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.